Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Niamh Hayes. This is a podcast all about health and wellness, where I'll be sharing information and tips and hearing from people who have their own health and wellness story to tell. In this week's episode, I am chatting to Tracy Colopy, who shares her story about how she went from being a fitness influencer to completely losing herself to doing the work, digging deep to find herself again and come home to herself again. She tells me what she's been up to and the exciting things she has coming up. Tracy, it has been a few years, I think, since I've properly had a chat with you. I used to work with you. Tell me, how are you?
Hello, Liam. How are you keeping? So, I'm doing good. It has been over a year now since we've been in contact. So thank you for reaching out and asking me to do this. It came at the perfect timing. So yeah, I'm doing really well at the moment. Things are good.
That's so good to hear. I'm glad of that. Can you tell me where in the world are you? Because I've been following you online and you have been all over the place. So where are you at the moment?
I am in, would you believe, I'm in the heart of Limerick in my Ross, living in my home house. So that's where I'm at the minute.
Super. Okay. And obviously, a few months ago, is it, you came home? You were in Bali before that.
Yes. Yeah, so I was in Bali and then I was in Australia for a little bit and I found myself back at home because it was actually quite unexpected coming home. My grandmother, who I actually lived with, she was quite unwell and she passed away she passed away 5 weeks ago now. So that was the reason for coming home.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you so much. But that was kind of what got me home. And honestly, I thought I was going to be in and out. I thought it was going to be a quick trip. However, I've actually really been enjoying my time home. So yeah, we're still here and I plan on staying for a little bit.
Oh, that's good to hear. So I know you because I worked with you in the health and fitness area, we'll say. And I know you were big into rugby when you were younger. So let's go back to when you were a kid and growing up. Oh. You obviously trained as a personal trainer. So yes. Were you always kind of into health and fitness?
Oh, I love this question. I love that you brought up the rugby because, yeah, that actually kind of is where I guess it all began. So when I started playing rugby when I was 10. And it was really funny because at the time, I've explained this before, but I was just a really timid little girly girl. And my granddad was really big into rugby. So I actually approached him one day and I said, I'd love to take up rugby. And I ended up doing so. And I really just fell in love with it. I think I learned a lot about myself through playing rugby. And just in terms of like resilience and, you know, getting knocked down and getting back up. So I think that developed a fiery little spirit in me. And I think I'd like to think I've carried that through. I ended up playing for Munster in Ireland when I played rugby and they were just really, really, really good times.
Cool. That's amazing. I played rugby for a little bit in secondary school and in college. And I really enjoyed it as a sport, but I found those knocks, I became kind of afraid of them in a way. And I ended up stopping playing. Yeah. I don't know what that says about me.
No, it's tough in fairness. It is. And honestly, I don't know where it came from with me. It was totally out of the blue. But there was something about it that I just loved. So I kind of stuck at it. Now, I did pack it in, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago. Mm. So I can relate. And I actually went back recently. I was like, when I got home, I don't know what, I was in this kind of space where I wanted to pick up a lot of things that I was doing as a teenager and as a child. Mm. And I actually put the boots back on and I went over for a training session. And oh my good God, like it was just, I said, you know what, this served at the time I was in. But we're going to step away now when I hung the boots up again. Oh. So I can definitely relate.
Okay. And so then after that, you trained as a personal trainer. Is that right?
Yeah, so I went to UL and I did personal training and strength conditioning, which I actually got into on interview basis. So got into UL, did my 2 years there. And then that was when I ended up in the fitness space and being a personal trainer.
Cool. Okay. And so then, like, when I came across you, I'd been following you online, I suppose, for a while, and you had built up this great community online. And I remember you putting something out there that you were going to start this cool new project. And everyone was so excited to see what it was. And it was where you brought personal trainers and nutritionists together in like an online coaching platform. And that's where I came on board and was working with you. So tell me, what was the transition like going from personal training in a gym to that whole online space?
Yeah, it was actually really cool how it happened at the time, because I was working in a gym, but just before COVID had hit, I was working in the gym and I was working one-to-one with clients for, I'm going to say, maybe a year. And I actually had planned on moving to Bali. I think this was 3 years ago. I'd planned on moving to Bali. So I set up a structure that was basically able to facilitate online clients. And what at the time, I really didn't have many online clients at all. Most of my clientele were in person. I'd say I had maybe a handful of online clients, but I had a platform and a structure that was able to essentially facilitate as many people as I had the capacity for. So when COVID hit, I literally just had this platform that I was able to take on. You know, I had this structure kind of just sitting there. And of course, COVID hit and we were all stuck inside and no one could move. So it was kind of the perfect time to be able to utilize that platform as much as I could. So that was kind of how it all unfolded. And yeah, then the challenges started. And then, as you said, we had the more one-to-one program. So there was kind of something, I tried to facilitate something for everyone as much as I could. And that just really, I guess, catapulted into what it became then.
Yeah, it was huge. Like, it was, you know, we were working with clients all over the place. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool time.
Cool time. So have you kept up that kind of online coaching and the fitness side, or are you completely gone from it now?
That's completely gone. I wrapped that up in December of 21. So yeah, that was basically just over a year and a half now. TWT has been closed down.
And was there any particular reason? Had you just kind of fallen out of the fitness side of things, or why?
Yeah, I guess looking back at that time period now, I think, you know what, as I had just mentioned there, it all happened there was a lot of momentum. It kind of just unfolded in front of me. And just looking back at the space that I was operating from, I think I was, you know, a 21-year-old girl who actually had a lot of insecurity.
Yeah.
And when it started building at the pace that it did, I think I just didn't know how to hold it by the end. And there was a part of me where at the beginning, it was so exciting because, you know, so many people were coming and everyone was enjoying it. And it was quite fulfilling at the beginning. But I think as it grew and the more responsibility that I had, and just the way in which it was moving was really kind of coming in on top of me. And just, I think when you're operating from a space and you don't fully know yourself, it can be very easy to start moving forward to please everyone else. And actually you kind of leave yourself behind when it went within that. So when I look at that time now, I think what was happening was there was actually something playing out that I was being so so fulfilled by the external validation that I kind of lost myself in the midst of it. And there was actually so many other aspects of myself that wanted to be expressed, but I was just completely ignoring. And I think what happened was I was gaining the success and things were building, but the bigger it was getting, the more emotionally and I guess the more emotionally unfulfilled I was becoming, because it wasn't fully in line with, I guess, the potential I knew that I had, but also I think I didn't know how to tap into that potential at the time.
And how was that showing up in your life? Like, did you notice, was your mood changing, or, you know, how did you start to know? Because obviously you were riding this wave, this really successful wave. So what were the kind of things that started showing up for you?
Yeah. Oh my God. So at the time it was very, you know what, I think I took, because all of my worth was being placed on what those around me thought and how the business was going, if something was off, it would completely knock me.
Okay.
And all of these, it was very, it would be, if something happened, let's say even if one of the coaches reached out, it got to a point where I couldn't give myself to anyone anymore, because it was almost like this belief that I wasn't good enough and that I didn't deserve any of it. And it was just, the bigger it got, the worse internally I got. And it was showing up in a way that I just completely became burnt out. And yeah, it was like it was almost like things were closing in on me, was the only way I could describe it. Things were just getting so foggy, and I was just really not able to even show up for myself on a daily basis anymore, let alone the whole business and all of the clients that we had.
Wow.
So that was kind of, it just became a really, really heavy weight that I truly didn't know how to carry, but it was stemming from the beliefs that I had about myself. And what I realize now is how much this was actually bringing up for me on an unconscious level.
Mm.
But on the external or in the everyday life, it was like, logically, this looks really good. This is everything you've ever wanted. However, I was just getting worse by the day, and I didn't know how to really cope with that or really how to handle it. So I think, yeah, I just didn't have the knowledge or the skill or the belief in myself to be able to hold what it became, I think.
Isn't that amazing? Because obviously, like, you had this huge online presence and you were having to show up for, mm-hmm. you know, everyone around you, and nearly probably put on a mask, maybe, if that's fair to say.
That was it. That is so fair to say, because I think, let's say where I'm operating from now and the space that I'm trying to create from, it's from a space of like security and trust within myself, mm-hmm. whereas I had absolutely no trust within myself and what I was doing. And again, coming back to that external thing of just moving in the direction that I was getting validation from, instead of actually listening to what I wanted. And I think when you get to that space and when you're operating from that and you've so much to hold, it becomes so overwhelming that, yeah, I just didn't know where to turn, really.
Unreal. And like having that following online, obviously that was that even adding, obviously that was part of your job, but like, was that adding more pressure? Did the online community and the social media, did that start to become toxic at any point for you?
It did, because it was kind of not my own fault, but it was because I think I'd so strongly identified with a fitness influencer,
yeah,
but at my core it felt so far from who I was. And there's all this kind of like, for example, I was living with my partner at the time and we lived in this beautiful house, whereas like I'm from Myross and, you know, come from a working class background. So it's like, it felt like I jumped timeline and I was living as a completely different person to who I was. And I wasn't actually, there's always this kind of need. It was almost like a guilt, because it felt like, oh, well, I'm one person and I'm from one place. However, I'm now in a completely different circumstance and situation, that if I was looking at this from as an outsider perspective, I didn't have what I had, I can only imagine that it would, you know, when you kind of look at someone online, you're like, oh, their life is perfect and, you know, they have everything. And I guess that was what I was showing up as, but that was quite far from who I really was and the truth.
Incredible. So I feel like you've been on a big journey since then. So tell me, when you, so December 21, was it, you said you kind of finished up mm-hmm. TWT. So what has happened then or since then?
Yeah, so TWT, I closed everything. And I think December of 21 was kind of the year, was the point where it had all just become too heavy to hold. Like I could not physically, even receiving a message from someone, I couldn't respond. So trying to run a business, it was impossible, essentially. So my thought process at the time was that I was going to put that on pause. And actually in December of 21, coming into 2022, I had kind of decided that it was going to be the year that I fully dedicated to myself and to my growth. I think during COVID, I gave so much of myself and lost myself in it, that I needed to really take a step back and kind of get clear on like, okay, where do I want to operate from and what do I truly want? So the intention at the beginning was to kind of put TWT to the side so I could focus on that. And that is what happened. However, when I kind of let it all go, that was when just the extreme exhaustion kind of hit, and just feeling directionless and feeling foggy. And there was a 3-month period from January to March where I was just like, I had been in therapy for the last 2 years and I had been talking through my problems. But that would only give me a relief for a short period of time, because I still, the emotions and the feelings that I were feeling were still so intense that nothing really seemed to be shifting that. And that was actually when I decided to go to Mexico to do ayahuasca, because I honestly was just in a space where I was like, I don't know what else to do. I went to the doctor and he had prescribed antidepressants and I kind of didn't really want to go down that route. And then I was, I had been in therapy for 2 years, as I was explaining, and I thought I was doing all the work that, you know, you should be doing to be looking after your mental health, which was, you know, going to therapy, working out, looking after yourself. Like, I was doing these things, but it still felt so heavy and so directionless. And like I said, like, things were kind of constantly after just collapsing in on top of me. So that was kind of the catalyst then for the ayahuasca experience.
And tell me about that experience.
Oh my goodness. This, I think, the one thing I will say about ayahuasca, so just to kind of give some context here, I hadn't done research on it. I had heard really amazing stories about people who had gone to do ayahuasca and they had, you know, these realizations and that it was impactful. So that was really the only information that I had kind of had on it at the time. And I think I was just in such a space where it was like, okay, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to give this a go. And that experience, what I will say about going into that was my intuition knew before I had done it everything that I needed to do. But I wasn't able to fully, I guess, trust myself in the decisions that I knew I needed to make. Yeah. And that whole experience just showed me so, so, so clearly what I needed to do. And I think when you feel something on a certain level, and when you can see it clear, there's almost no going back. So when I went to Mexico and when I had experienced, it was almost like it had showed me everywhere, I guess, in my life that I was kind of abandoning myself and out of alignment almost. And it really was every aspect of my life, which I kind of knew, but also wasn't willing to admit. And I think it just took that experience for me to be like, okay, shit, I need to stop ignoring the signs that I'm getting, and I need to stop ignoring my intuition and my gut feeling and move forward on what I want to truly do. And so that was what that experience gave me. And I heard a really interesting quote actually by a friend of mine who has done ayahuasca. And basically they said that some people will go and do ayahuasca and it will kind of, you know, show them where in life they're maybe veering off path slightly. Some people will go and it will kind of just disrupt their whole life. And I guess I was one of the people who went and it really just disrupted everything, which kind of left me in a place to just completely rebuild everything about who I was.
Incredible. And for anyone who has no idea what you're talking about here, how long were you actually away for, and what did your kind of day-to-day look like?
What is ayahuasca? Yeah, it was literally a retreat that was 5 days. And it was in Mexico. And essentially what ayahuasca is, it's actually a mix of two plants. So it's these two plants are found in the Amazon rainforest. They're blended together. And when you drink it, it creates a bit of it's a psychedelic experience. Mm-hmm. So it's actually known as a plant medicine, basically. It's crazy. It's mad what you can experience. But yeah, that's essentially what it is. Two plants blended together and you drink it.
I think that's a whole area. I wouldn't know too much about it, but I do know that, like, the kind of forward thinking, particularly people working in mental health and looking at how to treat it, that kind of psychedelics and things are kind of going to be the way forward, I think.
Yeah, which I actually think is so exciting. I know there's a lot of trials being done on psilocybin, so mushrooms at the moment, being used in a therapeutic setting, and I am all for it. I've actually done it myself, and I think it's a really, really fantastic tool. So yeah, I think the what's happening with these things at the moment is we're moving in the right direction with them, which is actually very exciting.
Yeah, I love the way, like, I'm sure there might be people listening to this and they'll be like, what the hell, they're talking about mushrooms, but like they're natural. Like the plants you're talking about, they're natural, they're growing out of the ground.
You know, that's the thing. And if you look at our society, it's like we do consume drugs, like, you know, like alcohol and drug use is huge.
Yeah.
And with these, let's say, drugs, psychedelics, whether it be ayahuasca, mushrooms, they're grown in the ground. It's like, you know, we could be consuming something a lot worse. And actually, there is so many benefits to them that that we don't really understand. But yeah, I think it's a really good thing. And I think we are in the very early stages. So as you said, some people might be like, are these two actually all right? But I think we're moving in that direction. And like I said, there are studies being done in universities all over the world.
Yeah.
Looking at these things. So yeah.
There is. It's an exciting movement for those of us who are open.
It's an exciting for those who are open, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me, so that experience happened, it was life changing. So where do you go from here? Are you going to go back to TWT or what happens?
Oh God. So this was honestly, so this was March. So this, we've actually come full circle. It was exactly a year ago from now. So I got home from that experience and a week later I ended up in Bali. So it was very, I got home and I think, you know what, I think everything had kind of been stripped from me at that point. As I said, I identified so strongly with being a fitness influencer that my identity had been stripped. I knew that that career was gone, that job was gone. There was no going back to it at that point. I moved out of the home I was living in. My partner and I had decided to go separate ways. So everything in my life had literally all at once just collapsed. And I think I really just needed to be by myself to figure it out again. So that was when I decided to go to Bali. And Bali had been on the cards, as I had mentioned previously, the year and a half before that. So Bali had always kind of been, Bali had always been somewhere that I wanted to go. And I actually thought, like, you know, when all of this collapsed happened, I thought I was going over to Bali for like the lifestyle and for the gyms and the cafes and, you know, the socializing aspect. But honestly, I truly just spent the year by myself trying to just looking at every aspect of myself and just really getting to know myself on a deep level, and also giving myself the permission to be with the emotion that was coming up. I think you know, when we're going through a period of change, it can be so heartbreaking. And I think I was not only grieving, like, let's say, my partner, my home, my family, I was also grieving myself, because I had lost I had lost basically the identity that I had created for myself.
Yeah.
So it was just really being like, okay, I'm here, I'm by myself, I don't have anyone else's opinion coming in. Like, who are you and what do you want to do? And these were the questions that I just really wanted to ask myself. So yeah, it was a year of just solitude, really, and a lot of crying and a lot of sleeping and a lot of healing. But it was really incredible.
That, like, what that must have been, so obviously it's so inspiring now looking back, but that must have been so difficult to go from a person who's going, being busy, doing all these things, to actually just sitting and being. Was that difficult? Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was very, very difficult. And I think there was a lot of like, why is this happening? And you know what? Even when I would try to socialize, it was almost like, because I was so tired and burnt out, that I really couldn't. I would try and get up and pull myself together and go out and do things. But I was just, it was almost like an emotional exhaustion. I was just in a space where it was like, oh my God, I'm just so tired. And my body just really needed time to rest and to, I guess, just after putting everything down, it was like, okay, you know, when you stop going and then you suddenly crash and it's like, okay, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the space that I was in. And I, you know what, I tried on a daily basis to kind of keep structure and keep routine. But yeah, it was very, I guess, intentionally just kind of trying to get to the depths and see, you know, what's actually going on here. Because I always knew that I wanted to step back into a career and I wanted to, you know, go into that space again. But it's like, okay, what's going to fulfill me, I guess, intellectually, emotionally and spiritually? So these were the kind of questions that I was asking myself. And yeah, it was challenging. However, what I will say now, looking back on the last year, it all makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. I think at the time it can be so scary because it's like when you're living from your intuition and you're living from a space of just the feelings that you're experiencing, I think you can't actually necessarily see what's coming. So having that uncertainty was definitely very, very scary. But I guess I just continued to be like, okay, this is happening for a reason. It will all make sense at some point. And thank God I'm in a space now where I'm like, it makes so much sense and I wouldn't have rode it any other way.
That's amazing. Amazing. So you obviously kind of found the answers you were looking for while you were away and doing this work.
I sure did. So yeah, I guess, I mentioned there all the stuff that I was doing. Studying was also a big part of the year. I think when I went to Bali, I was kind of looking for different healing modalities. It's like the typical thing, you know, going to Bali to heal and find yourself. But that was really what I was doing. And when I say I've literally tried everything. I was actually counting yesterday and I think I've tried over 13 like different healing modalities. And one that I came across that I just really, it really landed with me. So you're going to, again, people are going to be listening to me like, is this one actually all right? But I actually found myself at a tantra, how would you explain it? Kind of like a workshop retreat thing. Now, I think when people think tantra, it immediately goes to, I guess, sexuality. Mm-hmm. However, it's not necessarily that. Basically at the workshop, it was a lot of, first of all, understanding our psychology in a way that I as a 24-year-old woman could understand myself, but also giving it's a lot of emotional release work. So mm-hmm. actually being able to come into the body and discharge emotion on an embodied level. And the way I like to describe it is if we look at a little child who is, you know, freely expressing themselves, they'll cry when they're sad or, you know, they'll throw a tantrum when they're angry. This is how emotion is meant to be dispelled. So when there's emotion trapped in the body, that's what creates that like anxious feeling, that really, I guess, you know, that kind of on edge, that charge that we're experiencing. Mm. And I think what happens is as we get older, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we can't throw a tantrum or it's not good to be sad, you know, kind of cheer up. And as we're getting older, all of these emotions are being suppressed and pushed down. And what actually happens is they're being stored in the cells of our body. So if we're triggered or if something happens, you know, we might explode every now and then. But then it's like, okay, no, you know, we can't react like that. So really what this kind of showed me was how much emotion I had suppressed. And it really kind of gave me permission to be able to actually cry and to be able to scream. And it gave a framework that helped understand the psychology as well. So it wasn't just, you know, screaming, because I had done emotional release work before I had actually went to Bali, but I never really knew when to do it or how to do it. Whereas I think just having these modalities to be able to discharge emotion and to have the tools to be able to come into my body when I needed to, and to have a good crier, you know, I most mornings I'd say my roommates were like, is this one okay? I had really two cool roommates, but I used to like literally scream into my pillow every morning because there was like so much rage. But they were like, you know, she's doing her thing. And I had to kind of explain to them, but that's literally what I have been doing. It's just discharging emotion on an embodied level and not just, I guess, understanding the patterns that have been going on. So yeah, so basically when I had experienced that retreat, I was like, holy fucking shit, like this is class. And then I actually ended up working with a mentor for the last number of months. She is a tantra practitioner and I have been, yeah, studying with her. So that's been really, really cool.
Amazing. So yeah, I know you said some people might be like, what the hell? But I totally get this. I'm actually gone into somatic stress release is an area I'm studying at the moment.
Glass!
It's so funny.
How cool is it?
Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, I'm kind of been on a journey myself the last while and like that, trying different healing things, but I've come across this, and it just, it's blowing my mind that like we all have this like stress response every day. We all have these emotions every day, yeah. And we just shut them down and keep them inside, yes. us. And oh my god, it's unbelievable.
It's fucking class, because the thing is, like, if we look at the polarity of our emotions, we have anger and we have sadness, and then we have happiness and pleasure and joy. And we all are so strongly identified, or we all want to experience happiness and pleasure and joy so much that we shy away from the uncomfortable emotions.
Yeah.
And this, there's no polarity within that. So what happens is we get stuck in the middle and we seek it from outside of ourselves. So within my circumstance, it was seeking it through external validation on Instagram. But if we have the ability to be able to come into the body and, you know, feel the emotion that's occurring, you're creating the polarity of the emotion. So if we're experiencing the turmoil of like anger and sadness, and when we come out of that and expand, we're going to experience greater depths of happiness and pleasure.
That, you have such a great way of explaining it. Oh, amazing. That's so exciting. And I think it's actually, again, I think it's the right time to be bringing this to, like, obviously you've said you're back in Ireland now and you're going to be hanging around, mm-hmm. for a little bit. I think it's a really good time because Ireland has been changing. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but like, yes. I feel like a lot of people have been away traveling and they're coming home and they're bringing all these kind of modalities and new ideas to a lot of people. Yes. So tell me, are you going to be bringing this to Limerick or to Ireland?
Absolutely, I am. So yeah, so I have three really cool workshops planned at the moment. And I guess I would love to start online just so people can get a feel for it, just mm-hmm. so, you know, it's not too much. And then I think I really want to throw myself in and just create events where we can actually just experience the emotional body and in a way that's safe and also informative. So yeah, over the next few months there is workshops coming, and the first one, just to kind of explain a little bit, because I think if I was to put myself back into last year and what would have really benefited me at the time, is looking at, like, let's say the masculine and the feminine within us. So mm. I mentioned a moment ago that the practices that I've been doing gave a really good framework to understand the psychology to be able to come into the body. And I think if we're looking at, like, let's say the psychological thing of it and the patterns that we're playing out, and I guess the limiting beliefs that we have, being able to recognize these in a way and saying, okay, what's the story that I'm telling myself here that's activating an emotion within the body that's creating this continuous loop? So for example, for me, it was like, oh, well, within my career, I'm not good enough, which created this emotional response, which was anxious and overwhelm and just absolute stress, mm-hmm. which was then reinforcing the belief that I have. So I think if we have a structure to be able to recognize the beliefs that we are experiencing, and then to question what the emotion is behind that, and then to be able to come into the body and discharge it and re-change the story that was there, is essentially the framework that I want to create within the workshops. So educating a little bit on our psychology, but then being able to come into the body and really discharge the emotion on that level.
Oh my god, this is amazing. I'm definitely coming to a workshop, and when yes. I qualify as a somatic stress release practitioner, I'm definitely going to be doing something with you.
Oh, Niamh, I promise you we will do something together. I would absolutely love that.
Oh, that is amazing. So tell me, like, what is kind of explain to me the modality that you will be teaching. So if someone comes to the workshop, they have, you know, mm-hmm. they have things going on in their life. What will you actually be doing with them? How will they discharge that?
Okay, so like I mentioned a moment ago, so let's say the framework. So this is, and I think the way I have learned this was really relatable to me as just a woman who is, you know, trying to figure out who she is. And one of the, so let's just take the first workshop that we're going to be doing, for example. So this is working with the masculine and the feminine. So obviously we have masculine and feminine characteristics within, and we also have masculine and feminine energy. So if we look at, let's say, the characteristics of the masculine, it's stillness, it's presence, it's action orientated, and, you know, it's that drive and it's that move forward. Then we look at the characteristics of the feminine, which are the emotional body. It is creativity. It is playfulness, and it's a lot more creative than the masculine. Now, if you look at our society at large, a lot of us are operating from the masculine. So we're constantly moving forward, constantly pushing forward, and we're not allowing ourselves to access the emotional body of the feminine. Mm. So this is going to create an imbalance, but also it's looking at where we are operating from in terms of, okay, how much of the masculine am I incorporating into my life and how much of the feminine am I incorporating? And also within this, it's using those around us as a mirror to understand what they're activating. So again, coming back to what I was saying about it, I was seeking so much from the outside that I wasn't actually taking accountability for what I was experiencing. Mm. So when we're using people as a mirror to understand what they're activating within us, we can then begin to question, okay, what's this person first of all activating? What's the story that I'm telling around this? And then how do I come in? So I would really love to, first of all, educate with the structures and how to, let's say if you're in a relationship and your boyfriend does something, and you know when you get into that place and you're like, oh my God, I hate him, like, you know, it's just this really, like, he did this to me, he's causing me to feel this certain way.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, your partner has just done something that has activated an emotion within you that's already there.
Yeah.
They haven't actually done that to you, they're just activating that within you. So by cultivating a healthy masculine and a healthy feminine, you are actually giving yourself, like, the masculine is the stillness and then the feminine is the emotional body. So if you can use another person to be able to sit in your masculine and experience the emotional body, you are then giving yourself, what you're looking for in the other person. And when you can give yourself what you're looking for in someone else, you just operate differently. It's like, okay, this is what this person is showing me, but now I actually have the ability to create safety within my own being and not rely on that person for my happiness and for my pleasure. It's like when we have the awareness to be able to give these things to ourselves, and we have the modalities and we have the tools, mm-hmm. we're not suddenly seeking it from everything else around us.
And can you firmly say now that you yourself are at that place?
Absolutely. And I think one thing that I'm so just one thing that I'm, I guess, I'm really conscious of is living from a space of integrity in terms of truly believing in practicing what I preach. Mm. And if I'm putting anything I'm putting my name on from here on out is going to be from a space that I truly, truly believe in. I just think it's so cool because we truly do have, we hold our own power. Mm. I think for a lot of time, even with therapists that I had, I gave my power away to them. Mm. And it's like, actually, hold on a sec. If I have the awareness and if I have the tools, I'm actually in control of how I want to move forward. It's like my emotions are my emotions. And if I can sit in the turmoil of this, and if I can actually feel it and I can release it, no one can actually come in and take it from me, because I am embodying, this security for myself, and I'm giving this to myself. So it's kind of like no one can come in and take it from that point on.
I can already say firmly that you're absolutely going to transform lives, and I think you're going to transform relationships as well, because like that example you gave where people are like bickering, you know, and you're somebody does something and you react to that, like if people can just take that space and not react and come into their own body, I think that will just transform people and relationships.
Absolutely. And the thing is, within relationship, because we're so I was so reliant on my partner at the time, that if he wasn't doing something, I would be in so much pain and turmoil. Mm. And I would blame it all on him and be like, he's causing me this distress, he's causing me this. But actually, he was just, like, let's say, for example, showing me one of my biggest wounds, which was my father wound. And he was just reflecting a lot of things that my father necessarily didn't show me. So it's Yeah, it's a really interesting one, because once you stop giving that away to someone else and actually say, okay, look, there's something going on within me that I need to sit with, you don't, it creates more polarity in the relationship, because it creates that little bit of distance and that little bit of space, which allows for the passion and, you know, all of the good stuff to kind of come up to the surface again, when you're not fully clinging on to your partner and wanting, you know, needing and wanting everything from them. When you can actually give it to yourself, you know, it creates this little bit of space, a little bit of distance, which kind of gets things going again, basically.
Everyone, yeah, anyone that comes to your workshop, their lives and relationships are going to be amazing. And did you, do I recall that, were you studying like relationships or, relationship therapy or something along those lines as well?
Yeah. So when, at the last year, I was kind of, that was the area that I wanted to go into. So a lot of my studies over the last year have been in psychology, and mostly, so psychology and tantra. And I think at the beginning, I didn't actually know what tantra was, and I didn't, the language that I used for it was that I wanted to be a relationship therapist or a sexual therapist or a somatic sexologist, let's say. And I'm definitely more in the somatic sexologist area now. And yeah, working with the emotional body. So it's kind of like a combination of psychology, but also, like a very similar to what you were studying. Did you say it was somatic release?
Yeah, somatic stress release is what it's called.
Somatic stress release. Okay, so yeah, it's a combination of those. And I think the framework that I really enjoy working with is within relationships, and the dynamic of relationships, but also just as the, I think being, of course, a woman, it's like understanding that actually we have so much power if we choose to tap into it. So that's kind of where I'm leading from at the moment, is wanting to create a space where we can actually just recognize our power and recognize what we're truly holding underneath all of these stories and the emotional charge that we're carrying.
That's incredible. It's just so refreshing to hear. Like, I can just tell you're so excited about this.
Yeah, no, I really am. And you know what, I think, like I said, it was a year of just really studying it and embodying it. And I feel like now I'm kind of seeing how I'm kind of seeing the results of it now. So it's very exciting. And I feel like I'm kind of just at the beginning of like coming out of my shell and my cocoon again, and still implementing this work as I'm going into that expansion. It's just creating more security within myself to just trust myself and keep moving forward.
Isn't it like, because both of us, you know, coming from the fitness industry and huge focus within women on our appearance and our bodies, and you know, we would have done a lot of work on fat loss and stuff, like we really, there's a big disconnection between our bodies, isn't there? I don't know, is that, have you found that like on your travels other places? But I really find like
absolutely,
the people we work with, there's huge disconnection.
100%, I really agree. And I think also, even within the structure that we would have worked in, I think it was also very masculine orientated, in the sense that, you know, it was like, as females, we have a seasonal cycle the same way that the world has a seasonal cycle. And being, you know, I think we used to operate, well, I did anyway, used to operate from a very like constantly striving to lift heavier, constantly tracking calories and food. And I think, yeah, it's just after bringing a new awareness to me within this, that actually we, as females, we have different periods where we need to pull back, and we need to be more flowy, and we need to rest more. And I think giving ourselves permission to do that is so, so important, because again, if we're pushing ourselves and constantly just wanting more, it just creates, we're just not built like that. So yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm actually in that sort of period at the moment. So I would have always been training really hard for rowing and always trying to get better and better and better. Whereas my body kind of gave up a little bit on me there the last few months, and I've had to take a step back from everything and all those structures that I'd built up. And it's a big transition and it's hard, but that's how I'm actually coming into this whole somatic area now. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, there's a whole new world out there.
Yes, I love that, Liam. Honestly, it's class. And I'm so happy as well that you're kind of on a similar journey.
Yeah, it's cool. And I had no idea what you were up to at the moment before this happened. So cool.
This is brilliant. No, honestly, I'm telling you, the fucking synchronicities that have been happening to me recently, it's madness.
So like, sorry, I won't keep you much longer. We'll finish up soon to make sure everyone is staying with us on this chat. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who is, so go back to Tracy of December 2021, when you were just weighed down with everything, you were stuck, you didn't know where to go. A lot of people are feeling like that. And obviously mm-hmm. you were able to go away for a year and, you know, find yourself and come back to yourself, and you found this whole new area. So people who are kind of stuck in jobs that they don't necessarily want to give up, and I suppose don't have the freedom to go away for a year, how can they actually start mm-hmm. coming back to themselves in their day-to-day lives? Would you have any advice?
Yeah, of course. And I actually just want to first acknowledge like the privilege that I had in being able to go away and do that. So I can totally understand how it might be a little bit more difficult, you know, to tap into that when we don't have, when you can't fucking just jet off to Bali. But yeah, I think for me anyway, I think the biggest lessons that I have learned is to just truly trust my intuition and what that is telling me. And even like with stepping away from the job and things, at the beginning, it doesn't make much sense. But I so truly believe that life is actually, it's happening for us. It's not happening to us. Mm. So when you're in the turmoil of change and you're experiencing, you know, when you know you should make a move on something, but the logical mind is coming in and it's saying, no, but look, you know, things aren't that bad. You know, I can stick it out. I can keep pushing forward. I think my biggest advice would be to just listen to what, you know, to listen to what you actually truly want to do and what you want to move forward on. And even if it's like a slight inkling in some area of your life, I know for me, I knew that, you know, it was in my relationship and it was in my career. There were the two where I was like, oh, you know, there's resistance here, but logically it's all good.
Yeah.
And actually just taking that step forward. And, you know, like, as I said, I'm in a position now where I'm back in my home house, and sometimes you kind of do have to go a little bit backwards before you can move forward again. So although change is difficult, it is so worth it when you actually just take that step. And it will be a bit chaotic at the beginning, but once everything settles down, it does all make sense. And yeah, I just believe that listening to your intuition and moving forward based on that, there's always some sort of magic within it. So yeah, I think that would be my advice.
Amazing, Tracy. So Tommy, are you going to be advertising these workshops, or how are people going to find out more about this whole new career and area that you're going into?
Yes. So like I said, we will be starting off online, but I really, really want to get in-person events going. So next week I will have workshops up that will be coming, and that will be the beginning, and I'm just going to go and flow from there. So I guess, yeah, information like it usually was will be on my Instagram. I'll pop it on my story and maybe post just a link to my website where you can then purchase the workshop. And I'm hoping to have those good to go for the next 2 weeks. So yeah, you can keep an eye out and you'll find it there.
Brilliant. Okay, and I'm definitely coming to one of those workshops.
Yes, I can't wait.
And Tracy, finally, the final thing I want to ask you. So my business is Anchor Wellness. I'm all about anchoring yourself, and that if you don't have an anchor mm-hmm. within yourself, you know, you're just going to be lost out there in the sea. So tell me, what are the kind of anchors that you turn to in your life? Is there anything that you kind of do every day that keep you grounded?
Yeah, I love this question. So yeah, so I have actually two daily practices now at the moment, and the first one is in the morning. So first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is, again, like cultivating the masculine and the feminine energy. So with, again, when we look at the masculine, it's having the, what's the word I'm looking for, oh, you know, when you commit to something, okay, anyway, coming into the masculine and just bringing presence into, okay, I'm just after waking up, how am I feeling? Mm. And really allowing myself to come into the emotional body. And like I said, for the last year, there was anger there. So it was screaming, but it's giving expression to whatever is alive. Because what happens is when we can go into that space and when we can go into the uncomfortable emotion, it creates then an expansion and it creates room for, you know, the more it creates space within us. So the first thing that I will do every single morning is create space within myself. I will see, okay, what emotions am I experiencing? Am I happy? Did I wake up happy today? Did I wake up sad? Did I wake up angry? Like, you know, what's alive within me? And I will actually give that expression. So whether that's shaking or whether that's dancing or if it's screaming or if it's crying, whatever emotion is there, I will tap into it and allow it to come up to the surface. And then I will go into more of an expansionate state where it's like, okay, I've released and discharged that emotion. Now, how do I want to show up today? How do I want to, how do I want today to go? And what space do I want to operate from? And that's usually then when I'll call in kind of the more feminine energy and the more kind of, creative. And yeah, and it just, it creates almost this kind of space to just enter my day clearly, basically. And then the evening practice, it's more, how do I explain this? It's definitely more sensual in terms of it's almost like a date with myself. I'll do this in the evening and it's like creating a space, like, you know, kind of creating a space in my room that feels safe and literally turning off my phone and just spending some time with myself, and just kind of getting to know myself. So those are my two kind of practices that really, really anchor me at the moment, because yeah, as I said, I'm setting up my day on the first one, and then the second one is kind of winding down and just spending some time with myself and, you know, kind of be like, you're cool, I like you, like, you know. And I think when you can do that, when you can sit with yourself and be like, yeah, I like the person you're becoming, and I, you know, I like what you're doing, I think life is just so much easier because, you know, you show up different. So those are my two very strong anchors at the moment that honestly I wouldn't change for the world. So yeah.
Oh my God, I love them. Love them. And I think we're just so in a rush all the time that we don't have that connection. We don't spend 5 minutes with ourselves throughout the day.
Oh, which is just mad. It's madness. It really is. And I think, like, even if it's 15 minutes in the evening, like I'll do 15 minutes in the morning. Now I love my evening routine, so I kind of spend the evening, but even if it's just 15 minutes with yourself to kind of be like, okay, you know, how am I feeling? And just continuously checking in. Yeah, I think it's so important.
Brilliant. Tracy, this has been so refreshing, because I feel like whenever I want to try something new in life, it's quite hard because there's, you know, there's norms or in society, and sometimes it's hard to kind of push through those boundaries. So to actually chat to you now and to see how much passion you have for doing these things, even though they're not new, if in a way, you know, this sort of practices have been done with generations all over the world, but I think it's new to us here maybe.
For sure.
But it's so refreshing to hear your passion and like your kind of direction now for the future.
Oh, thank you so much, Neil. That's so nice.
Alrighty, so we will finish up there. Thank you so much for giving me your time today, Tracy.
And thank you so much for having me. It was such a lovely chat.
Thank you for listening to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I hope you got something out of listening to the chat today. Until next time, keep striving to be healthy.